So, good morning, world, and Shavuot Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Nazir, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Chet. This is a daf that's meant only for people with brains. So please engage your brains in this daf Mem Chet, and let's remember what it is that we're trying to actually get to the bottom of. We know that we have three different sugyas in the Torah that describe places where it's usher to be metame lemitim. One is, of course, Nazir, which is our special case. The other is the case of a Kohen Hetyot. And the other is a case of a Kohen Gadol. And each one of these has an issue that is written up in a different way in the Torah, and we're trying to learn out what those halachas imply about the Tumah for a Met Mitzvah. Now, there's other issues that are also very much Nogea, the things that we're going to learn about in this parak, such as the Isser of Knisa L'Migdash B'Tumah. But the parshiot that discuss the actual iser to be metameh, as opposed to if you are tameh, don't come into the Beis HaMikdash, are those three. Now, each one of them is, as I said, phrased uniquely. So we can start, the Kohen Hetyot is not allowed to be metameh to non-relatives, which are called rechokim, but he is allowed to be metameh to krovim. And that means krovim are defined in the pasuk of that Kohen Hetyot, and that's actually where we learn out the din of Avelut for relatives, and it spells out who those relatives are. So it says, L'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. So just for other people, he cannot be metame ki'im l'she'ero hakarov elav. And who is that? Le'imo, la'aviv, le'bino, le'bito, la'achiv, and also to achoto abtula shelo hayta le'ish. That's the parsha of the Kohen Hetyot. Now there's also Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol is not only prohibited from being metame to non-krovim, to rechokim, he's even usher to be metame to krovim. And the way that the pasuk tells us that is ve'al kol nafshot meit lo yavo le'aviv ule'imo lo yitama. Doesn't mention any other of the relatives. When it comes to the nazir, the lashon is ko yemei haziro la'ashem al nefesh meit lo yavo le'aviv ule'imo la'achiv ula'achoto. Now, here it doesn't talk about levno, levito. It just mentions those four. Lo yitama lahem bimotam. Also, an unusual language of bimotam. So, yesterday, we took the first step to understanding what the mekoras of all of these halachas are. And we wanted to first of all know that since the Mishnah takes for granted that either a Kohen Gadol or a Nazir, if they are alone and they come across a meis mitzvah, we're taking for granted that they would have to bury the meis mitzvah, despite the fact that the Torah ushered them from becoming tameh. So we started off with wanting to know, how do we justify allowing the Kohen Gadol to be metameh to a meis mitzvah? We learned it out from the pasuk that specifies l'aviv l'imo, and we said, if the pasuk begins by telling us a klal, that is, that he's not allowed to be metameh l'nefesh, anyone, and that l'nefesh cannot be referring to non-relatives, because that's obvious, since he's not going to be less than a Kohen Hetyot. It's a kal vachomer. If a Kohen Hetyot is not allowed to be metame to non-relatives, so kol shekein a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metame to non-relatives. Which means that when it said the klal nefesh lo yitame, it's referring to relatives. And therefore, it's redundant to go ahead and to tell me about aviv and imo. Well, obviously, aviv and imo are relatives, and you said you're not allowed to be metame to relatives. So what's the point? Therefore, we made our first diuk that when it says la'aviv by the Kohen Gadol, it means to say not that he's not allowed to be metame la'aviv, but rather it's limiting the Yisr not being metame. To his father, he may not be metame, but he could be metame to someone else, which is more mechuyev than the father. And what would that be? The meit mitzvah. So that established that when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, we know that he should be metame himself for a meit mitzvah. We still don't know how that halacha is true about a nazir. But we'll talk about that in a moment. But before we took that next step, which is where we had gotten up to last night, we also wanted to know, once we're analyzing the pasuk of la'aviv le'imo, how do you explain the fact that it had to say le'imo? I mean, it's not necessary to spell it out. If you only need one example to tell me that you cannot be metame for relative X, but you can be metame for a meit mitzvah, why do we need to spell out relative X and Y? So what's the point of mentioning imo was the question. And what we learned out last night was that le'imo is actually a fascinating word that is there only for the purpose of not being needed. What? Yes, because it turns out that by the Nazir, we have a very strange language. Where over there it says, Laviv elimo l'achiv l'achoto, lo yitam alehem bimotam, specifically. And that's a rather strange language. Obviously, lo yitamo would have to mean bimotam. Therefore, it comes to tell us that there is no iser of being metame because of tzara'at. So tzara'at, even though tzara'at is compared to a mace, and it's metame in many ways, in ways similar to a mate. And I might have thought that if the Torah asers a kohen from becoming tame, or asers a nazir from becoming tame, it would include a tuma that is called tumas mace, like tzara'at. Therefore, it stresses no, only in a case where they are actually motam. But in other cases, it would be mutter for a nazir to aid a parent who needs help and to actually be mitame, even though the touching of the parent would be mitame. So why do we need to know dafka the imo? Ah, so here's the cute part. By the nazir, the word imo is open to the drasha also of the one with the kohen gadol. In both cases, it says imo. And as we're going to see, in both cases, it's not necessary to say imo. And therefore, the imo is there in order to be an extra pasuk to allow us to darshan a gzera shava, and that just like it says bimotam by a nazir, so too by a kohen gadol is as if it said bimotam, and that means that he is allowed to be metame, same way a nazir is allowed to be metame to tzara'at. Okay, that's where we had gotten up to yesterday, and we left with the question, which we'll begin with today, and that is on Memches Amud Aleph, and that's we went a little bit over halfway down. Amud Aleph, Ashkechan Kohen Gadol. Okay, so now we know the dinim of a Kohen Gadol. How do we know the dinim of a Nazir? Nazir Minola. How do we know that a Nazir is allowed to be mitame to a mate mitzvah? Now, as I mentioned to you last night, your obvious reaction to that would have been, what do you mean, how do we know? We just learned that there is a lovely Gezerah Shavah. Now, it's true. We used that Gezerah Shavah to tell me the din of tzara'at. Imo. It says Imo by Nazir, and it says Imo by the Kohen Gadol. But a Gezerah Shavah works in both directions. So if we know the din of a Kohen Gadol is that he's allowed to be metame for a mate mitzvah, that automatically tells us, thanks to Im Gezerah Shavah Lemechza, that automatically tells us, Gavi, just write that down just in case you don't have it from before. Probably you do. But Ein Gzeirah Shavah L'Mechza. So that teaches us that just like the Kohen Gadol can be Metame L'Meit Mitzvah, which we learn out from La'aviv, so to the Nazir can be Metame to a Meit Mitzvah, and we don't need any further proof. Now that's a very good question, and it's a question that Tosfos asks. And the Rabbeinu Peretz gives a lovely answer. Rabbeinu Peretz says that we're going to see that there are really three dargas in Gzeirah Shavah. We know that there's Gzeirah Shavah, which is Mufne Mitzad Echad. There's Gzeirah Shavah that is Mufne Mishnei Tzadim. And there's Gzeirah Shavah in which it's only that the words are the same, but those words are not extra words. Each one in each place where the word occurs is needed to teach me something else. So the halacha is that Gzeirah Shavah, without being Mufne, is certainly applicable, but only if you cannot point out to a reason why it should not apply, which would be under contradiction from another pasuk, or something that's illogical because of the din of a kal vachomer, or something like that. In order to avoid that, you would need a gzera shava mishnei tzadim to be mufne, mitzarecha to be mufne. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you would need it to be mufne mishnei tzadim. And we're going to see over here that this sugya is assuming that you need it to be mufne mishnei tzadim. The problem is that if you have a gzera shava that has a very clear-cut purpose, then the idea of its being soser, a halacha from another pasuk, would not allow you to use it as a gzera shava. Now, let's take a look at the situation over here. If we would use, says Rabbeinu Peretz, if we would use the imai, gzera shava, to tell me not the din of the halacha that you're allowed to be metame to tzara'at, but instead we would say, well, that gzera shava is very important. It's there in order to teach us that a nazir is supposed to be metame himself for a mate mitzvah. So then my response would be, if the gzera shava is going to tell me that, then the rule of in gzera shava lemechza, which would have allowed us to use the same gzera shava to teach me that the kohen gadol and the nazir both are able to be metame b'tzara'at, would not have applied. Why? Because since the din of tzara'at, its similarity to mace is a hekesh in a posik. And that is, as Moshe Rabbeinu, Zulamate Yikamate, then what that would mean is that even though the Gezeirah Shavah is mufta on both sides, yikes. Help. Gabi. So even though it's mufta on both sides, we wouldn't be able to use it because it would be the equivalent of a contradiction to an open pasuk. Because a hekesh like that is as if it says beferish in the pasuk that Saras is kemes. So only where I have no other purpose for the Gezeirah Shavah, which is mufna, there I could say, look, you can't tell me that it's not meant to teach me that Saras is okay to be tamei too, just because the mace and mitzora are compared to each other, because then why did the Torah give me the Gezeirah Shavah? But if I can give you a perfectly good answer to why did the Torah give me Gezeirah Shavah, well, it gave me the Gezeirah Shavah to teach that a nozer could be metame to a mace mitzvah. Then I wouldn't have known the original din about the allowances for being metame to a mitzora. So because of that, we're looking for an alternative source instead of the Gezeirah Shavah. Where do we know that a nozer, if we're not going to learn the nozer out of the Kohen Gadol, where it says La Aviv, where are we going to know that a nozer is allowed to be metame to a mace mitzvah? So this is where we're up to, and let's begin our examination. So Ashkech and Kohen Gadol, so far we've established that a Kohen Gadol indeed is metame to a mace mitzvah. But how do we know about a nozer? Well, the Braita analyzes the lashon of the pasuk by the nozer. Kol yemei haziro laHashem al nefesh meit lo yavo. And you'll notice, by the way, and we're going to be learning about that at the end of this sugya, that over here it says al nefesh meit, and by the Kohen Gadol it used the lashon al kol nafshot meit, and that's the question of why here is it a nefesh and there it's nafshot. So that's going to have to teach us something. I'm just pointing it out to you now that we're mentioning the pasuk. We're not going to deal with it right now, but that itself we're going to have to understand. But it does say that he cannot be metame to the nafshot of a nefesh hameit. So now, suppose it wouldn't have said meit, would have just said nefesh. I'll call nefesh lo yavo. Wouldn't that teach me the same din? No, says the Braita. Because if it said nefesh, I would have thought that the halacha would be that a nazir is not even allowed to become tame to an animal that died. Because we know that too is called a nefesh, because ki'inyan shenemar, ma'ke nefesh pe'ema yishamena, right? So you see that an animal is also called a nefesh. So how would I know that the nazir is only allowed, to be metame to a human nefesh? Because of that, Talmud lomar, al nefesh meit lo yavo. And therefore, it's stressing that it's benefesh adam, hakatuv midaber. Now, this is brilliant. You know about all those dog owners who want to know whether little doggy is going to be accompanying them to hell. And that's not what they know. They want to know, actually, whether the doggy gets to listen to all of those harps playing and so on, right? Is the doggy going to accompany them to the lovely afterlife that they envision?
It's a pet theory.
Oh, yeah, very good, very good. Now, this Gemara is going to provide an answer, because this is a brilliant point. So the Gemara answered, if it would have said nefesh, I would have thought that was nefesh behemah. Therefore, it says, al nefesh meit. But the problem is, as Tosis points out, that a behema is also called meit, because it says, va meit yelo, and that's referring to the carcass of the shore. So what does that prove that it says meit? Says Tosis, but the point is, for an animal is a nefesh, yes. And an animal is definitely a meit, but there ain't no nefesh to the meit. That's the point. Beautiful, right? So the idea is you cannot call the mate of a behema a nefesh mate because doggy ain't going to Olam Haba. And therefore there is no residual nefesh. So we wouldn't have called it a nefesh. Lovely. Anyway, you never know what you might find in a Daf Gemara, right? But don't put this on Twitter unless you want to die. Okay. So therefore, we used up our pasuk about nefesh mate to tell me that it's a din of nefesh adam. Whereas, and this is important to remember because later on we're going to get back to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, I don't need nefesh and meit to tell me it's humans because it's obvious that we're only talking about humans. How? Because it says, a nefesh meit lo yavo. What does lo yavo mean? Lo yavo means not to enter, which means that we're talking about tumat ohel. But a behemah doesn't have any tumat ohel. And therefore, it's a given that we're not talking about a nevela. We're talking about, obviously, human tuma. Now, later on, we're going to see that that is very significant because it leaves Rabbi Yishmael with an extra drasha in the pasuk that our Tana does not have, because he needed to have both nefesh and mate in order to tell me a halacha that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is obvious just from the word lo yavo. Okay, but now getting back to the drasha. So, it started off with this, kol yimei haziro l'Hashem, al nefesh meit lo yavo. Then it goes on to say, la'aviv ula'imo, la'achiv ula'achoto, lo yitam alayam bimotam. We've already darshan the bimotam, and we already spoke about the le'imo part. So therefore, we now need to talk about the aviv part. Now, it says over here, for no reason, la'aviv ula'imo eno mitame. But that's not necessary, because we just showed that you're not allowed to be mitame. So it's coming to tell me, la'aviv, now even though it says le'imo over here, as Tosis points out, the le'imo is really not necessary, and we're going to be dealing with the le'imo later when we come to talk about the issue of the tzaras and so on. So, la'aviv le'imo ino mitame, ava mitameu le'meit mitzvah. Now, the truth is that even if the Torah hadn't said this, I would have known it on my own, wouldn't I? Achelo yomar. Yishli bedin. It's quite obvious that this is true, because if a Kohen Gadol, who has this tremendous Kedusha, which is Kedushat Olam, and remember we said there were three approaches to Kedushat Olam, and all of them apply. It doesn't go away. It goes and is transferred to his child, and there's no way to go and to be Shoyal on his Kahuna. So this, by the way, is one of the fascinating drushes that the Reform have forgotten, because they allow a Kohen who wants to marry a Gioret to simply go and be Shoyal on his Kahuna. So now he's not a Kohen. And, you know, these rabbis who are the Amiorets, they don't know that you're allowed to be Shoyal. So there's really no problem. Anyway, so that's Gufa. The point is that the Inyan of the Kahuna is more permanent than the Nazir. And so Mimela can't learn out from there. So Elohim, the idea over here would be that I should learn out rather Kedushas Olam. So for sure, he is a Nazir who is She'en Kedushato, Kedushat Olam, Eno Din Shemitami L'Meit Mitzvah. So for sure, it's much less of a problem for him to be Mitami to Meit Mitzvah. And of course, we already know from the Mishnah what the argument will be in the opposite direction, which is Lo Imamarta Bekoin Gadol, because if a Kohen Gadol becomes Tomei, he doesn't need to bring a Korban Al Tumato. But She'en Kein a Nazir, apparently whose Tuma is more serious, he has to bring a Korban Al Tumato. In which case, Ho'il Mevi Korban Al Tumato, maybe he really should not be metame to a meit mitzvah. Therefore, I need the drasha le'aviv le'imo lo yitama aval mitame ol meit mitzvah. So at this point, we're saying that basically the same lotion of the pasuk that we learned out to Kohen Gadol, la'aviv le'imo, that la'aviv eno metame aval mitame lo meit mitzvah, the same thing is true of a nazir, la'aviv le'imo lo yitama aval mitame ol meit mitzvah. The problem is that we now raise another fascinating question that we never thought of before. Maybe the point is, Oeno mitame la'aviv le'imo, aval l'shar meitim, he is mitame. What? What kind of story is that? We're saying, maybe the Nazir is not allowed to be mitame l'nafshes meis, but that means l'nafshes meis of very close relatives, like aviv le'imo. But there's no problem of his being able to be mitame to non-relatives that are not aviv v'imoy. How could that be? What's the svara? The svara is that it's possible that, unless we can prove otherwise, which we will in a moment, but it's possible to understand that the Torah's iser of being metame to a relative is because of its psychological devastation and therefore inappropriateness to someone who is supposed to be in a transcendent situation. Now, his nazirus has given him a kedusha. So that kedusha should remove him from the emotional concerns of his earthly life, the same way it removed him from drinking. And therefore, it's inappropriate for a darg of Naziris to be so emotionally devastated by death. But what about to go and be metame to a non-devastating death? He's going to the janitor's funeral, like we talked about yesterday. The janitor's been there for 50 years, and he feels it's only correct to show his respects. No. To show his respects is not the same thing as being metame la'aviv le'imo. So you might think that davka la'aviv le'imo lo yitame, but he's allowed to be metame not to a meit mitzvah, he's allowed to be metame to the janitor. Maybe that's what it's coming to tell me. No, says the Gemara. Cannot mean, it's actually the Braita. No, says the Braita. It's a kal v'chomer. Because if a Kohen had yod, who is allowed to be metame to krovim, is not allowed to be metame to other meitim, Nazir she'eno mitame l'krovim, eno din shelo yitama l'shar meitim. We see that when it comes to the Kohen Hedyot, the Torah also gave the same iser to the inappropriate exposure to Tuma of a Kohen who's on this higher Madrega of Kedusha. And in that case, we say that the closer the relationship, the more the Kohen should be Metameh, not the less the Kohen should be Metameh. So then that means that our Svara of the Isser of exposure to death being something that has to do with his own emotional connection is irrelevant. That's not the point. The point is indeed the Tuma of Meis. And therefore, forget about the idea of using the Pasuk L'aviv L'imo to tell me only L'aviv L'imo, but yes to others. No, that's not the case. And therefore, I go back to what I said before. And we're left with Isser, the Nazir is Osir on Krovim, is certainly Osir on Rechokim. And therefore, what is the point? The only point must be not that he can be Betame to less close relatives even than Aviv L'imai, but rather it's coming to tell me, La'aviv la'ima hudalo mitame, aval mitame hu l'meit mitzvah. So we're sticking with our original assumption. Now, we want to show that our approach here is basically correct, but not precisely correct. Because the truth is, we would have known, you would have said, Ad shelo yamer. I mean, suppose the Torah hadn't spelled out la'aviv la'imo by the Nazir. What would I have thought? Left to my own devices. Well, I would have thought that it's rather obvious just because of the construction of the way the pasuk goes. Look, all of these three examples that we have of the special Isser of Tuma and the particular place where the Tuma is mutter, all of them first begin with a klal, and then they go on to say the specific dinim. So we had Lenefesh lo yitama ba'amav, that's our sugya, which is the sugya of the, that's the sugya of the Kohen Hedyot, right? Ki'im l'sheiro ha'kor ve'lav. So first we have a general rule, l'nefesh lo yitama, and then we have a list of li'ima la'aviv l'bno l'bito, and so on. By the Kohen Gadol, we also have a special klal, al kol nafshot meit lo yavo, and then we spell out la'aviv l'imo lo yitama, and by the Nazir, we also have the klal, ko yimei haziro la'ashem al nefesh meit lo yavo, and then it spells out love, ivelim, olach, ivelachuto, lo yitamalem bimota. So that means that the construction of the Isser with its pratim is the same in all of the cases. So why wouldn't I figure out on my own that in the same way that by the Kohen Gadol it says, al kol nefeshot meit lo yavo, as a klal, and it says a klal by the Nazir, it says, al nefesh meit lo yavo, in general. So just like in general, when we answer things for the Kohen Gadol, it meant including the relatives, which allowed us to utilize the word Aviv by the Kohen Gadol, which we did yesterday, to teach me that Aviv eino mitame, aval mitame o lemeit mitzvah. So then the same exact din should be applicable to the Nazir. Av klalot amurot benazir, it says La'aviv, and that comes to tell us not that La'aviv he's osir, it comes to tell us that the meit mitzvah is mutter, because the klal would have included Aviv. If we don't need it, why are we coming on to this drasha? Ah, because you forgot. We could just as easily have compared the Nazir to the structure of the Isser of a Kohen Hedyot. Now, by the Kohen Hedyot, it says the same thing. And that offers an alternative. O kulach l'derech zo. Why don't we look at it this way? It says the klalot by a Kohen Hedyot. It says, l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. That's a klal. And it says the klal b'nazir, al nefesh meit lo yavo. Just like the klalot ha'amurot b'kohen hediot, the kohen is allowed to be metame la'aviv, so then perhaps it's true by the Nazir. Had it not said, la'aviv alimo lo yitam abumotam, so then I would have thought that we should learn out from the kohen hediot that even though it says in both cases not to be exposed to an nefesh mate, however, if it comes to burying his own father, he is allowed to, and he's mokhuyav to. So maybe that's true by the Nazir as well. And we would have had to say, af klalot ha'amurot b'nazir. He should be metame la'aviv. This explains, now this is terrible, this is a disaster, because this explains why we need la'aviv by the Nazir to tell me that he's not allowed to be metame to his father. Oh my God. But if that's what I need la'aviv for, so then I can't use la'aviv to tell me, but he can be metame to a meis mitzvah. Because I needed the la'aviv to tell me that he cannot be metame to his father. Because otherwise we'd have learned it out from the Kohen Hedyot, right? So I mean, we brought this bright that it ends up undermining everything that we had originally said. We said that we were going to use the extra word of Le'aviv, which is no longer extra, to teach me that a nefesh mate, it does not apply to a mate mitzvah, and it turns out we needed to teach me that it does apply to his father. So, okay, we set out to make things clearer, and now we've turned the water murky. And what do we do now? Surprisingly, the Braita continues on blithely as if nothing has changed. And yes, that teaches us, la'aviv u'limo lo yitama, hala mate mitzvah mitama. What? What are you talking about, says the Gemara? That's exactly what you cannot say. You just proved to me that I need the pasuk to tell me that you cannot be metame to your father, because otherwise I would have learned it out from the din of the Kohen Hedyot. And now you go ahead and you say, so we were right all along. We have this word aviv extra to tell me that you cannot be metame la'aviv, but you can be metame to the Beit Mitzvah, which means that we're ignoring what we just proved. Ask the Gemara, what are you talking about? Didn't you just say a second ago that you showed that you have to use that word la'aviv to teach me that he's not allowed to be metame even to his father? Sorry. Yes, it's true. The Braita did sort of leave out the main point. The main point is, you're right. We cannot use the word la'aviv because we just showed you what we need la'aviv for. Truth is, we cannot use the word le'imo, because we know that we need the word le'imo to tell me the Rebbe din about Sarat, and that we would apply that to the Kohen Gadol. But remember that the pasuk continues, le'achiv u'la'achoto. Now, what's that all about? Ah, that is what's important to us now. Therefore, then since it continues to say le'achiv, which is not necessary, because now I know that we don't compare him to the Kohen Hedyot, this teaches us, la'achiv eino mitame, hola make mitzvah, he does mitame. And, of course, you know as well as I do, that the le'imo, we needed that for the gzera shava of Rebbe. So now, it boils down to the same thing, but it turns out that we can't learn it from the same word. So where we were talking about the Kohen Gadol, where it says that he cannot be mitame la'aviv, over there, la'aviv is unnecessary because it already said, al kol nafshot mit lo yavo. And therefore, La'aviv itself is teaching me the heter for the Kohen Gadol to be metame to the mate mitzvah. By Nazir, where I might have learned the din of the Nazir from the Kohen Hedyot, and perhaps the din would have been that if it's a very close relative, that then it is mutter to be metame. So therefore, Kamashman La'aviv, that it's not. Le'imo is there to provide the extra word for the hekesh to the Kohen Gadol. And the next word, which otherwise anyway is redundant, la'achiv, that's coming to tell me, la'achiv u'deinu mitame, avo mitamehu, le'mate mitzvah. Okay, so we're moving right along over here. Yitzi is apparently hiding behind Ariel, and Ariel is actually an accessory to the crime. Ah, there we go, okay. I see. It's probably that recent shave that's keeping Ariel behind a name. Okay, so that means we now have accounted for the words la'aviv, the words le'imo, and the word la'achiv, and we did not account for the word la'achoto. So, I mean, once we're at it, couldn't we just finish? Yes, I'll tell you what la'achoto comes to tell me. La'achoto, that it says by Nazir, that is to tell me the beautiful drush, the Tanya. Why does it say la'achoto? Matamud lomar. Hare sha'alach lishchot et pischo v'lamulet b'no. V'shama shemet lomet. So you might think that Yocho Yitama, in order to be kover, the mate, and it's his own personal mate, it's not a mate mitzvah, comes along the Torah to say, no, do not go to the funeral, do not turn around, and keep going to the Korban Pesach, and keep going to the Mila, so that you will not be mevatel them. You might think that even if they stumble across a mate mitzvah on the way, Yocho lo Yitama le mate mitzvah, even, therefore it says in the continuation, Li'achiv la'achoto, that teaches us la'choto, hu deino mitameh, hala mate mitzvah, he is mitameh. Fine. Beautiful. So now we know every single word in the pasuk of the Nazir. Now we have to think about the extra two words that we suddenly discover if we hold of Rabbi Yishmael. Because Rabbi Yishmael said, you don't need nefesh and mate to tell me that we're talking about a human and not an animal. So if that's the case, we have actually a whole different way of darshaning, and that is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, and this is a mistake when it says al nafshot, because there's no such posik al-nefesh meat. So the al-nefesh meat in the parsha of Nozir, says Rabbi Akiva, that refers to rechokim, that a Nozir cannot be metamitu. Meat refers even to krovim. So why do we need la'aviv limo? To tell me that la'aviv limo eino mitame, but he is mitame, l'meit mitzvah. Okay, so then why do I need la'achiv? Now, as far as why we need both la'aviv limo, that we're going to continue on today, as we said. We haven't got, I already told you what that is, that the reason that we need both is because you can't be sure who your father is, but we'll get to that. So how do we know, according to this, if we need the la'aviv la'imo? That is to tell me that he's not metame to aviv v'imo, but he is metame. So he metame to meit mitzvah. When it says la'achiv, it's coming to add this tremendous chiddush, that even if he was also a kohen gadol and a nazir, he would still not be metame la'achiv, but he would be metame to the meit mitzvah, which is the big chiddush of Rabbi Akiva that Rabbi Shmuel doesn't have, because he needed la'achiv gufa to teach me the din of meit mitzvah, even for just one, just a nazir, because he needed la'aviv to tell me that you would not be metame la'aviv, because he was going to learn it out of a kohen head yet. Remember, it's okay, Rabbi Akiva didn't have that complication. All right. Now, the problem is that if this is true, and it means that according to Rabbi Akiva, says the Gemara, we're not left with any pasuk to tell me the Gzeira Shava. Because how do we have a free le'imo if he claims that we need la'aviv ule'imo? He claims that we need that to tell me the halakha of meis mitzvah for just a nazir. So how do you explain that? So why did it say it? But we have this bimotam by the nazir. Do we have a way to apply that also to the kohen gadol? That's the question. So how do we understand le'imo, minale? So in other words, apparently we need both la'aviv ule'imo, which is not clear why, but we need both la'aviv ule'imo, according to Rabbi Akiva, to be mamayit the meis mitzvah, to say you can be matami. Omar l'chor Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva points out to you that, look, now that I have said, Kiva Domar Mar, that is Rabbi Akiva, now that I have pointed out to you that from la'achiv l'shitati, we learn out that if he's both a kohen gadol and a nazir, that he would be metame. So obviously, if he's only a kohen gadol, so he would also be metame l'meis mitzvah, because he would be metame l'meis mitzvah even if he's both a kohen gadol and a nazir. So I no longer need the original aviv v'imo. Therefore, I have a free le'imo gufa to teach me mali kohen gadol l'chudei, mali nazir v'kohen gadol. So that means that I have the la'aviv le'imo is now free in this pasuk of the kohen gadol, which I now learn out from nazir, and that allows me to learn out the gzera shava of Rebbe. Now, why do I need both la'aviv le'imo? That we will see. That's part of what we're going to continue on in today's daf. But according to Rabbi Shmuel does not have le'achiv free to teach me the halakha of the kohen gadol and a nazir, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, I didn't learn meit mitzvah from la'aviv by the nazir, or from the le'imo, which I utilized for the Rebbe gzeirah shava, and therefore I needed la'achiv to tell me, la'achiv udeinu metame, but he is metame to the meit mitzvah, right? Okay, so then according to him, if he is a kohen gadol and a nazir, does that mean that Rabbi Yishmael would actually argue on Rabbi Akiva? And he would say, do not be metame for a meit mitzvah. I mean, we never find such a machlokas that someone holds, we're not metame for a meis mitzvah. So how indeed does Rabbi Shmuel know that that's true? So kohen gadol plus nazir in one person, minole, how would he know that he should be metame for a meit mitzvah if he can't learn it from achiv? Says Rabbi Shmuel that once the Torah tells us that the kedusha, in one case, so he didn't hear, we're talking about the kedusha of the nazir, that it's not relevant to a meis mitzvah. So then what do I care if the kedusha is because of the lav of tuma of the nazir, or if the kedusha is because of the lav of tuma of the kohen gadol? The bottom line is, the Torah has taught meit mitzvah is docha isuri. That's all that's important. Ask the Gemara, if that's what's telling us, then why in the world do we need achoto? Because the only reason that it said achoto in the parsha of Nazir was to teach me that if you're going for the Korban Pesach or you're going for a Bris Milah, you should still be mitame to make mitzvah, right? But according to Rabbi Yishmael, the Torah has already taught us that we're doyecha yisurim. So we know that. He's claiming that once we know it in one case, we know it in all cases. So then why don't we know it also about the case of the Bris Milah? Answer the Gemara, because if it wouldn't have said achoto, I would have said that salka daita chamina kishorach banala beit mitzvah nazir v'kohen, which is an isur lav. Yes. But to say an isur koras, maybe not. So I need lachoto to tell me even an isur koras.